As I go soul winning, I go with a few things on my mind and my heart. Where'd it go? Still there?
You're battling each other.
It was there for a moment, but then it vanished away. Can you get me back to page 5? I said last week everyone will spend eternity someplace. Heaven or hell. It's my responsibility to give as many people as possible the gospel message so the Holy Spirit can use the Word of God to convict and convince people of their need for salvation. Now, I worded that on purpose the way I did. I want you to listen to that again. I'm going to start here. It's my responsibility to give as many people as possible the gospel message so that the Holy Spirit can use the Word of God to convince people of their need for a Savior. So it's the Holy Spirit's job, not my job, not your job, to convince and convict people of their need to be saved. My job is to give out the gospel. My job is to use the Word of God. Present to them the Word of God so the Holy Spirit has something to use. Now, I know that we like to give testimony, and I know that I've given testimonies before out soul winning, but most of the time I don't. Can I tell you why? My word doesn't have any power. God's word is what has the power. Now, you don't have to have 1,000 pages of the Word of God to have power. God's word is God's word, and it doesn't matter if you use 1 verse or 5 verses or 10 verses or 18 verses or 25 verses or 30 verses. God's word is what makes the difference. Amen? Because He uses His word. Because that's where the power is. So, I will make the message as clear as possible when I talk to people. On purpose, I'm going to make the message as clear as possible. I want to make it as simple, so simple, anyone can receive Christ as Savior. The more complicated the message, the harder it is for people to comprehend what we're saying. I'm going to make this statement. I hate religion. I am not a religious person. If you came to my home, you would not find one statue of Jesus. You would not find one cross. You'd not find one picture of Jesus. No, nothing about Mary. You won't find anything like that. I tell you what you will find, the Bible. Amen. That's all you're going to find. Because I don't believe in religion. Religion's made by man. Faith comes from God. I'm a Bible believer. I'm not a religious person. Religion, as established by man, has traditionalism attached. And so, oftentimes, and I'm saying this cautiously, as we go through the plan of salvation, we insert religion into the plan of salvation. But I want to make it clear to us tonight that we need to make it as clear as possible, as simple as possible. Everyone is an individual. So I want to be able to approach everybody on an individual basis. Amen. I want to look at them and talk to them. Make them feel like they're important. I'm not going to, I have a preacher friend and I love him with all my heart. When he preaches, he never looks at anybody. He looks at the back wall and the ceiling. He has a growing church. He's in his 70s. His churches have always grown. He never looks at them. He'll look at you in a personal conversation. But that's his style of preaching. Me, I can't do that. Yeah. I'm going to look at you in the eye.
Yeah.
You want me to look at you in the eye. Because you want me to know that I care about you personally.
Yes.
See, when I look past you, I feel like I'm being ignored. And you're going to feel like you're being ignored. So when I'm talking to a person, I want to make sure that they understand, I know that they're an individual. And everyone has a possible need that needs to be met. Everyone, as I go out to talk to people, everybody's got some kind of need that needs to be met. I'm going to look at each person as a person who has a need in one of these three areas. In other words, everyone is a prospect for our church. Everyone. Everyone is a prospect for our church. What are these areas that they could be prospects in? Salvation. There we go. They could be a prospect for baptism. Maybe they're saved, but they've never been baptized.
Right.
Just because they're saved doesn't mean I should stop talking to them.
Right.
Maybe they need to be baptized since they've been saved. Maybe they need a church home. I don't know. That's a prospect. Maybe they have a church home, but they got a prayer request. Do you know, we don't pray enough for people. And not enough people pray for each other. There's always someone that has a need. And when I come across somebody, they're going to have one of these four things. I can count on it. So when folks go soul winning, you know what I like to call it? I learned this from a man named Joe Boyd. He's in heaven now. But Joe Boyd, when I was a young preacher, used to say, "Brother Marco, when you go out, you're going prospect hunting. You're not going soul winning. You're prospecting. You're prospecting for someone who needs to be saved. You're prospecting for someone who may be saved but needs to be baptized. You may be prospecting for somebody who's saved and baptized, but they don't have a church home, and they're looking for a church like this. Or maybe they're saved and they're baptized and they have a church home, but they have a need."
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I've been to the hospitals in my lifetime. And when I go to a hospital, I go to the bed that I'm going to visit. If there's somebody else in that room, I visit that bed as well. And then I go to the rooms on each side and visit those people in the bed. And invariably, somebody will say to me, "My preacher's never even been here. Or my rabbi, or my priest, or my minister." And I'll pray with them. And when they get out of the hospital, they remember I came by.
Amen.
And guess who shows up? You know why? They're a prospect. Why? Because they're an individual. Every individual has a need. So as a Christian, as I go out and talk to people about Christ, and as I go out and knock doors and visit people, I will look for the needs, for the need our church can meet with this individual. That's what I'm looking for. Because soul winning just isn't telling people about Jesus Christ. Soul winning is reaching an individual for Christ. If every individual would be trying to reach another individual for Christ, we wouldn't have the unbelief in America we have today. Amen? Now I'm preaching. Okay. The questions I ask. When I go out and I talk to people, I ask questions. The first thing I do is I introduce myself and I ask their name. "Hi, my name's Doug Marco. What's your name?" "Hey, my name's Doug Marco. What's your name?" "Brother Reginald." "Good to meet you, Brother Reginald." I make it personal. Why? They're an individual. I want to know who they are. I want to look them in the eye. I want to shake his hand firmly. I don't want no dead man fish hand in my hand. Amen. I'm going to give him a shot. Amen. I'm going to look him in the eye. My daddy always taught me, look somebody in the eye when you talk to them. Amen. It brings sincerity to what you're doing. So I'm going to ask their name after I introduce myself. I'm going to ask you, if you die today, you know for sure you go to heaven or hell? If you were to die today, do you know if you go to heaven or hell? Now, I'm going to tell you exactly how I ask these questions in a little bit. I'm just giving you the questions I ask, okay? Number three, I ask if they could have God's personal promise, no matter what happened, the rest of their life, that they would go straight to heaven when they died. Would you take God's promise? This one statement right here, God gave me years and decades ago. It changed, it revolutionized my soul winning. It revolutionizes every person's soul winning who has learned to use this statement. God gave it to me over a period of time, and can I tell you what it does? First of all, it's a positive statement. There's nothing negative in it. Secondly, everybody has a way, everybody wants God's promise. If you could have God's personal promise, not a church's, not a religion's, not a Baptist, not my promise, not a Catholic promise, not a Methodist promise, not a Presbyterian promise. But if you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened the rest of your life, no matter what, you would go straight to heaven when you died, would you take that promise?
Yes.
Sure. I went from probably getting 30% of the people to let me talk to them to 99.8% of the people talking to me. Because I'm asking them something that they're interested in a very positive way. And it does change the way people respond to you. Then I ask them, would you like to have that promise? Would you like to have that promise? So now they're going to tell me whether they want me to continue or not. I'm not going to invade their space or their time. I'm asking them what they want me to do. They don't want this promise? That's okay. That's not my job. Whose job is it? Holy Spirit's job. My job is to deliver the mail. If someone says, I don't want my mail, that's okay. My job is just to deliver the mail. Amen. Let's see. By the way, everybody wants to know that heaven's real and that they can go there. Quick story. I was out sowing one time in Michigan. And I was walking. It was a Sunday afternoon. And I was walking with one of the with the head deacon of the church. And we're walking down the road and we're knocking doors. And I don't believe you just knock doors. If somebody's standing out there, you go talk to them. Right. Amen. So I start turning up the driveway, and suddenly I noticed the man wasn't there. I looked back, and he's standing at the end of the driveway. I went back there and I said, come on. He said, I'm not going up there. There's two long-haired, big-boned, strong male bikers. Said, Hell's Angels on the back of there. I'm not going up there. I said, why not? He said, they scare me. I said, pfft. You can't scare me with heaven. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, but they're hell's angels. I said, I don't care. I'm heaven's angel. I'm a-going. And I walked right up there. And they did what many people have done before. I start talking to them. They start giving me type of answers. And then I said, before I go, let me just ask you one more question. If you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened, you would go straight to heaven when you died, would you take his promise? And they looked at each other and they said, of course we would. And I said, well, then let me show you. They said, sure. And they went from being belligerent to listening. And then when I said, would you like to ask Jesus to pray and come into your heart? I felt something behind me. I looked over my shoulder and there's that guy that was standing there. They wouldn't come up the driveway. Listen, we have got the most important message that anyone could ever hear. My dad, at the age of 61, died from cancer. My dad was about 6 foot, weighed about 240, 250 pounds. He's about my age, because I'll be 60 in August. And I had the same cancer he has. And during the last few months of his life, what most cancer patients go through, they waste away. And he was very thin and frail when he passed away. My mother, when she was 62, had a cancer. And at the age of 62, my mother passed away from cancer. Different kind of cancer. And I don't have that cancer. And you know, if I had a cure for cancer and didn't give it to them, and they could have been cured by it, shame on me. If this little tablet here, this little pill right here, I know I got one somewhere. Here we go. This one looks like a horse pill, but I'll use it anyway. Let's say this little pill right here was a cure for cancer. And it cured cancer. I mean, any kind of cancer you had, all you got to do is pop it in your mouth, let it dissolve, and boop, cancer's gone. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
And then if I took that pill and I locked it up in a safe and I never gave it to anybody, would that be wrong? Well, there's something worse than cancer. It's called hell for eternity. And it's much worse than cancer. Can I be honest with you? I got the cure. It's Jesus Christ. And our world is filled with the cancer of sin. And we're letting person after person walk by us without ever giving them an opportunity to take that cure. Now, I'm never going to shove a cure down somebody's throat. But I should at least give them the opportunity to choose whether they want the cure or don't want the cure. It's not my job to choose for them. Well, I look at them over there. I don't think they'd even listen. That's what that deacon said to me. Ah, they're not even going to listen to you. I said, maybe they won't. But I don't know till I talk to them. Listen, there's people everywhere waiting to hear the gospel message that the Holy Spirit already has under conviction. Do you know what the one missing ingredient is? The soul winner. A friend of mine knocked on a door one day. Nobody came. He knocked a second time. No one came to the door. He said, I'm going to knock one more time. He knocked one more time. And he stood there. And finally, the door opened. And this lady said, may I help you? He said, hi, I'm from Longview Baptist Temple in Longview, Texas. And I was out visiting for the church, and I wanted to give you an invitation to church. She said, and I wanted to ask you, if you die today, you know for sure you're going to heaven. She said to him, young man, do you know what I was doing just now when you knocked on my door? She said, I stand in a chair in the middle of my bedroom. I just put a cord around my neck. I was about to jump off my chair and hang myself, and I said, if there's a God in heaven, prove it to me. If not, I'm jumping. Then I heard your first knock. And I said, then I heard your second knock, and I said, I'm not getting off this chair. Then I heard your third knock, and I said, good night, are they never going to go away? She said, I would love to know for sure. If I had died today, I'd go to heaven. And that young teenage man won that lady to Christ. And she came to Sunday evening service that day. It was a Sunday afternoon. Can I tell you, you never know. It's not for us to decide not to do it. We've already been commanded to do it. So I must go. So as I go, here's what I say. Here's what I want to say to start. I need to put my glasses on. Okay, here's what I say. That's what it says. Here's what I say. Hi, my name is Doug Marco, and I'm from Central Park Baptist Church, and I'd like to give you an invitation to our church. So I take a church tract. I meant to have one in my pocket. I take a church tract. I say, hey, I'd like to give you an invitation to church, and sure would like to invite you to come on out. Would you come sometime? Be great to have you. And then I say, do you get to go to church anywhere? What am I doing? I'm looking for prospects. What area am I looking under? I'm looking to see if they go to church. I'm looking to see if they're saved. I'm looking to see if they need to be baptized. I'm looking to see if they have a prayer request. All right? So do you have a church anywhere? And they usually say, well, I do. Well, that's great, I say. I'm always positive. Always be positive. Never be negative. The Word of God's always positive. It's never negative. Hell, yes, it seems to have a negative statement, but it's not. It's a positive statement. Why is it a positive statement? Because I'm positive I don't want to go there. Amen. I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. And by the way, I'm positive hell is real. Because God said so. Just as heaven is real because God said so, hell's real because God says so. So I'm going to go out and tell somebody something somewhere, amen? But I'm going to say, do you get to go very often? Just because you go to church somewhere. You know what? I've had folks say this even here. Oh, I go to that church down the road. Oh, we're at over on Jackson. Oh, Central Park? Yeah, that's right. I just told them I was from Central Park. Oh, how long you been going there? Long time. You been going? Do you get to go very often? I go every service. I've never seen you anywhere. I don't say that to them. Because I'm not interested in making them look like a fool. They're already a sinner. I'm interested in getting the gospel message to them if that's what they need. Amen? So I say, how often do you get to go? Because if they don't get to go very often, I want to invite them to our church. Amen? And then I say, we're not out to take anyone from their churches. So I'm glad you go to church. By the way, I am glad you go to church. If someone goes to church, I'm glad they go to church. It's better than being a hypocrite on the golf course on Sunday morning and never going anywhere. At least you have some kind of spiritual desire. Amen? You say, well, if they're Catholic, well, praise the Lord, Catholics can get saved too. Amen? But at least if they go to church, at least they have some kind of spiritual hunger. At least they recognize the fact that God does exist. So I got my foot into a good door at this point. If someone says, well, I'm a Mormon. Well, good, I'm glad to hear that. You get to go very often? Well, I go to Jehovah Witness Church. Well, that's wonderful. Do you get to go very often? Why? I'm prospect hunting. All I'm doing is clearing away the dirt so I can get down to find out whether there's a gem down there or not. Amen? If you know someone, I'll say this to them, then I'll say, well, if you go to church, that's great, and you go to church often, well, that's wonderful. If you know someone who doesn't go to church, would you do me a favor? Would you give them this gospel tract, this invitation, let them know that we care about folks? And they'll say, well, sure I will. Now they're going to keep it. It went from there trying to give it back to me to now they're going to keep it. Why? Because I was positive. I wasn't negative. I didn't say, oh, you get to go to church anywhere? Yeah, I'm a Catholic. Oh, you know, Catholics don't go to heaven. Oh, I go to Jehovah Witness Church. Well, you know that's nothing but a big lie, don't you? People say those kind of things out so many. That's not the right thing to say, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it positive. I said one time to a lady, we'll probably come to it here sometime in this little statement. I said to a lady one time, I knocked on the door, she said, hi. I said, you go to church anywhere? She goes, yeah, I'm a Catholic. I said, that statue right there ain't going to get you to heaven. Boom! Well, I blew it. She was never going to listen to the gospel again from me. And she may not listen to anyone because I was negative. I got a positive message. So I'm going to keep it positive. So if you get it, all right, and that's what I said. So if they don't go to church, that's even better. Amen? I say, wonderful. I'm looking for people like you. Amen. That's what I said. I'm looking for people who don't go to church. I'd love to have you come and be my personal guest one day at church. I would love it. And here's what they say. Well, thank you. Why? I'm positive. I'm not being negative. Listen, folks will say you got to get folks to like you first. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know how likable I am. But I know this. I'm not going to make them hate me when I'm standing there. They already think I'm a nut because I knocked on their door from a church. Amen? They already think I'm one carat short of a diamond. Amen? Or one crayon short of a box. I'm short of something. The preacher's just short. And so... I didn't say that, did I? So then I say, before I go, may I ask you a question? Okay, that's generally the response. Okay. What was your name again? That's the next thing I say. What was your name again? You know why? I forget names. I got to use your name about 50 times before I remember it. But now I'm going to get down to the nuts and bolts of stuff, and I want their name. Because I want to talk to you personally. I want you to know I care about you individually. Because I forget names so easy. If you forget names or if you can't use their name, then get it again. And it's okay. And I'll say, I forget names so easy. What was your name again? And when you're just who you are, people don't get mind that you're dumb. Right. Amen? Yeah. They don't mind that you're forgetful. Now I say, I'm old, and then old people, they just don't remember nothing. And folks laugh. They think that's funny. Can I tell you why? That's who I am. I use whom God made me to be.
Amen.
Amen. So I use who I am. Can I ask them, what's your name again? All right. If something's happened, and then I say, if something happened and you were to die today. Not that we want you to die today. But if you suddenly die, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? I ask it just that way. If something were to happen today, and we don't want anything to happen, but if something did happen, and you were to die, and I don't want you to die, because I don't know what goes through people's heads anymore. Okay? We're in a very armed society. Okay? And people are afraid of home invasions. I'll be honest with you. So I ask the question in a positive way, but to give some people some ease. Not that I want you to die today. I don't want nothing to happen. Okay? So I'm trying to make them at ease. I'm trying to get them to relax. I'm trying to be relaxed. The more relaxed in yourself you are, the more relaxed they will be. Amen? Do you know for sure that you go to heaven? And I get a variety of answers. I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've never done anything bad enough that I'd go to hell. I pray every day.
Right.
I read my Bible.
Right.
I don't respond to any of those answers. I say, okay. Well, let me ask you this then. If somebody's really insistent that they're a good person, I say something like this. Let's pretend for a moment. You go to church right now, right? That's what you told me, you go to church. And you go to church pretty regularly, and I'm glad to hear that. But let's say you get busy. And you know we do. Sometimes we get so busy that we start to slack off our church attendance because things around us get busy. Everyone understands that. Because we fight that same battle. And sometimes, you know, we just start missing church. And then before you know it, we get in an argument with somebody and we use some bad language. And then we get angry and we lose our temper, and that's wrong. And then sometimes, you know, we may be faithful now, but as time goes on, sometimes we get so busy we're not faithful anymore. And then you die. When you're not as faithful as you are right now, then where would you go? And then I don't give them a chance to answer. I say it just like this. Then where would you go? I know I don't want you to go to hell. And neither does Jesus. He wants you to go to heaven. So, if you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened the rest of your life, that you would go straight to heaven when you died, would you take His promise? Would you like to have that promise? And they say, almost everybody, I mean virtually everybody says they would. And I say, it takes me about 4 minutes to show you what I'm talking about. Now look at the next part of the statement. Would you let me show you? Now I've taken the decision completely out of my hands. They think already I'm going to be there forever. But I'm not. I usually say this. It takes about 4 minutes for me to show you what I'm talking about. And I know you got places to go, and I do too. I need to go down the road and talk to some other folks. But before I go, if you'd like me to, I'll take that time and show you what I'm talking about. Would you like me to? I've taken all the pressure off of them. They already know I'm ready to leave. Okay? I know you got things to do, and I got things to do. I got to get down the road. Why? Because I don't know about you. If you've ever had Jehovah's Witnesses come over to your house, you got to get a pry bar to get them out. Mormons, same way. Sometimes us Baptists are just as bad. I'm not going to do that to somebody. So for me to stay and show them, they've got to ask me to stay and show them. Now they've asked me to stay. Would you let me show you? You know, yeah. I'm going to show you 4 things from the Bible that God wants you to know. And then I'm going to go into the plan. And we're going to stop right here for tonight. Amen. So now, you know where we're going. So I go to the plan, and I'm going to go through the plan I use next week. Okay, I'm not going to use the Romans Road. I'll use parts of the Romans Road. But I'm going to tell you what I say. Why? Because that's what I'm comfortable with. And the more I'm comfortable with it, the more you'll be comfortable with it, meaning the person I'm talking to. Amen. I've used this plan over and over and over again. I've honed it. I'm going to tell you this, too. I use the same plan for everybody. Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Jews, Gentile, high, low, fat, skinny, old, young, everybody. I use it for everyone. Why? Because God's plan's the same for everybody. So you say, well, what about the religious background? I don't worry about it. I am not going to let that deter me from getting the gospel message to them. I am not in the religion business. I'm in the people getting saved business. Amen? And the only way they're going to get saved is if I give them a chance to hear the gospel message. So, any questions so far? Yes, ma'am.
So, when you get down, next Wednesday is
going to
be the last night for all of this?
No, ma'am. Next week, I'm going to tell you word for word my plan as I go through my plan, and I'm going to talk it through. Yes, I already have it printed, and I forgot my folder with it in there. So I am going to give it to you. Okay?
Even the information for next week, right?
I will have all that with me next week. I forgot my folder.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Good question. Any other questions? I know there's a lot of information there, isn't there? But I think it's practical. And I think it's helpful. Any other questions? I'm happy to answer any questions. Is there anything out soaring or when you go visiting that you run into? And you don't know how to answer. If you ask me right now, I'll tell you how to answer it. No matter what it is. Yes, ma'am. When Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, I have a real benefit because I'm a preacher. I say, I'm a pastor over at Baptist Church. And I'd love to have you come in for a Bible study so I can show you how to be saved. And they will run. And so I might say, if I were in your shoes, is, hey, I'm a Christian. And I'll be happy to go get my Bible and you can stand right here and I will show you exactly how you can have heaven. Because what you believe, now this is different. They're coming to my door, I'm not at their door. So I'm approaching them differently. And I'd say, because what you're telling me, what you're selling, doesn't float. You're a religion. I'm going to show you faith in Jesus Christ. And usually they walk away. I don't want to know that. They don't want to hear that. The Romans Road. And I have the Romans Road out here. And we're going to go over that as well. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Yep, it'll always make them run off. Give them a gospel tract. They'll mark your house sooner or later and they won't come back. I never let them go into their discussion, never, ever. And I don't take any of their pamphlets. I say, thank you very much. Don't give it to me because I'm going to burn it so nobody else can get it. So if you want to hang on to it, it's going to cost you money if you give it to me. And no one's going to see it. And I smile real big. Jesus love you. Yes, sir, brother.
Okay, so I always see the Jehovah's Witnesses on the street.
Yes.
So they're not coming to your house and you're not coming to their house. So what do you do?
Well, I might try to talk to them, okay? But I'm hunting for people who are under conviction, and they're probably not, okay? I have won Jehovah's Witnesses at their doors. I've won Jehovah's Witnesses on the streets. I'll tell you what. I'll listen to what you have to say if you'll listen to what I have to say. They'll say, it's a deal. And I'll say, I go first. But I have to ask the Lord, is my time being used wisely here? Yeah. And so sometimes if I see them out, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, I ask the Holy Spirit to really guide me as I go. Because I do not want to waste the Lord's time. Okay? So I generally just either give them a gospel tract, try to start up something if they're not interested, or if they're real bullheaded. Most of these guys are young kids. They're just doing what they have to do because they have to put in their 2 years or whatever. If there's a group of them, and they're never ever alone. If there's two, there's four. Okay, when it comes to Jehovah's Witnesses, or six. And I don't want all of them there unless I'm going to have a preaching service. And I've done that before too. And some walked off or others have gotten saved. So, but I got to really ask the Lord what's best. What other questions? Yes, sir.
What is this? Two. One of them, you said prospects. Would you consider look for disciples as prospects? Because sometimes some people get saved and they might not be in the right church. You ask them about the plan of salvation and they get it. Or you put it in perspective. But they don't go to a good church.
I'm not out to take anybody from their church. Okay, I'm going to invite them to come. That's not my purpose right now. If they have a need, I'm going to pray for them. If their church is not meeting their needs, sooner or later they're going to start looking for someone that does. And then they'll remember that we were there. And so I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them right then. Okay, I'm going to let them know I care about them right now. But generally, people aren't just going to up and leave their church just because you had a small visit with them. And I don't start Bible studies that way. I invite. We have Bible studies on Wednesday night for that purpose. We have Sunday morning and Sunday morning services for that reason. We have Sunday school for that reason. So I think the only way to make a disciple is to get them in church, not to be at their home.
Amen.
Okay. Second question.
When you start recognizing points of contention. Sometimes you walk with people, they may not be a joke. They just might have personality where they're aggressive in their points of view.
If somebody starts to shoot me down at all, I'm done. I'm out looking for somebody who wants to be saved. Here, listen to this word. I'm looking for someone that wants to be saved. I'm looking for somebody that's under conviction by the Holy Spirit. I am not going to waste God's time. So any kind of resistance they give me, I say, thank you very much. I'd love to see you come and visit our church. And I moved on to the person that God has under conviction. Preacher?
That's where we as soul winners, if we will spend time praying and asking God to lead us, He'll lead us to someone. Amen. And we'll know immediately that someone's going to be contentious with you.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit of God say, not this one, but the Holy Spirit of really
are. Yeah. Yeah, and again, any time that there's, I'm not there to create conflict. Religion does that. Any other questions tonight? Going once, going twice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight.